Welcome to this special St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AMA 20 presentation of the 2017 Catholic Social Services Breakfast with the Bishop, recorded on Friday, September 8th, 2017. Today you'll hear from the President and CEO of Catholic Social Services, Ms. Rachel Lustig, Hugh J. Dorian, Columbus City Auditor, and the recipient of the 2017 Vision Award, and the Bishop of Columbus, Ohio, Bishop Frederick F. Campbell. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's always so good to have you here. A couple of weeks ago, I was with our senior companions. These are volunteers of ours who visit homebound people in the community. And I was at their in-service walking around saying hello. One of the unique things about our senior companions is that we work with a lot of refugees because refugee seniors are particularly at risk of being isolated because they can't speak the language. Well, I was walking around and I was about to pass a table of Somali men. And so none of them spoke English, so I did my customary, you know, wave and smile and nod when one of the gentlemen caught my eye. And he put his hand on his heart, and he bowed to me, and he said, "Happy." I can only hope that I'm able to give to you just the slightest bit of welcome and warmth that he was able to pass to me that day. You honor us this morning with your presence. We're grateful for your partnership. We cannot and we do not at Catholic Social Services do this alone. So to each one of you, our partners and advocates, happy. This morning, I'd like to recognize those who, through their generous support of today's event, are making it possible for us to serve more seniors and to help more families with our customized care. I want to begin by thanking the two gentlemen that I have the honor to share the stage with this morning. Bishop Frederick Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus, Shepherd of our church, and our gracious host this morning. And Mr. Hugh Dorian, Columbus City Auditor, legendary public servant, and the man we get to honor this morning. We have a group of very generous lead sponsors that I would like to recognize: to General Preservation Corporation, to Kimball Midwest, to Mount Carmel Health Systems, and to our gold-level sponsors, Columbia Gas of Ohio, Cornica Cozing Construction Company, the Dominican Sisters of Peace, First Merchants Bank, HMB, Kegler Brown Hill and Ritter, Kelly Companies, and White Castle. I didn't mean to play favorites. I love y'all. And to our silver and patron sponsors who are listed here, you are a critical part of our mission. We also want to recognize and thank some of our cherished leaders and partners and government officials who are with us this morning. To Hermana Rosia Hernandez Flores, who led our prayer this morning, thank you for your gracious welcome and beginning. To Representative of Senator Sherrod Brown's office, Joe Gilligan. To Council Member Priscilla Tyson. To Council Member Michael Stiziano, to Representative Eden McKessick-Haley, Council Member Mitchell Brown, and to City Attorney Rick Pfeiffer. Thank you for your presence. And to the St. Charles Choir. Wow. How many students get up this early to sing for a good cause? when they can get out of class. Your intentions are pure, and you filled us with joy this morning. Thank you to Principal Jim Lauer and Doug Montgomery, the choir director. Thank you all for your ongoing partnership with us and our mission. And thank you for being here to celebrate with us this morning. For over 70 years, Catholic Social Services has been responding to the unmet needs of people in Central and Southern Ohio. Together, we help families to realize a better tomorrow and seniors to age with grace, independence, and purpose. This care is provided to people regardless of faith and background. In fact, one of the most common questions that we get from non-Catholics is, "Are your services available to me?" The answer, of course, is yes. We provide services because we are Catholic, not because they are. But as a Catholic, I'm used to getting questions about my faith. I hear things like, "What's a Monsignor? Is that like a cardinal? What's a conclave? Could you be a pope?" No. Or my favorite, "What are you giving up for Lent?" I feel like there's no support in that question. But there's one unique thing that has never struck me as odd, and that is the saints. Saints are people who lived great lives. They are people who we can turn to as an example of a life of love and service. We ask, what did they do? What choices did they make? What habits did they have? And how did they deal with setbacks? I have a few favorite saints, Saint Francis of Assisi and Mother now Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. I'm drawn to their courage, their joy, the effect that they had on people. Everybody who met them knew that they were loved. I'm inspired by how Mother Teresa put her side on the poorest of the poor and how St. Francis loved the earth and was connected to it. Tomorrow, we Catholics will celebrate the feast of St. Peter Claver, who was a priest from the 1600s, who dedicate his life to ministering to those enslaved by the African slave trade. He worked tirelessly to improve the lives of those he served and heroically sought an abolition to the slave trade. Certainly, his witness is needed now as more than ever as we continue to push for racial equality, solidarity, and immigrants' rights in our own community. At CSS, our work can be challenging, so we look to our heroes, our saints, to help us to act with compassion as we help people to live up to their God-given potential, to help us to be on the side of those who are marginalized. Saints can show us how. They're also a source of that inspiration that we can hang on to in the tough times. What is nice is that saintly behavior is not relegated to long ago or to far away. We, in fact, don't have to go very far to find good examples of saints. We have some in our midst. And this morning we get to honor one. One who's been an example and a mentor to so many of us. Who's given his life to giving back to his community, ensuring sound planning, and fighting for a place where everyone can thrive in our community, who has shown us what it is to be a servant to the public, serving as Columbus's city auditor for 48 years and city treasurer before then, who has shown us that integrity can be quantifiable. You can measure it in the highest possible credit ratings and the lowest available interest rates as symbols of trust. Who shows us that you can work together and respect people of all persuasions, having worked with many mayors and many city council reps in his 5 decades. Who shows us that you can share credit for a job well done. Clearly, we have a lot to learn from Mr. Dorian. And for that reason, we want to honor him with an award, given only on special occasions, for a lifetime of commitment to the values that Catholic Social Services aspires to. Right now, I'd like to invite Bishop Campbell up to help me present the Vision Award to Mr. Dorian. On behalf of the board and staff of Catholic Social Services, and in partnership with Bishop Frederick Campbell and the Diocese of Columbus, we'd like to honor you, Mr. Hugh J. Dorian, with the Vision Award for being a visionary, saintly leader in our community, for the positive impact that you have made in our shared home, and for the compassion with which you live your life.
Where are you, Bishop? Okay, thank you. Bishop, it's an honor to be with you this morning. Thank you for letting me join you. And Rachel, you also, thank you for the invitation to be here this morning. Hey, good morning to all of you. I can't help but compliment the St. Charles Choir this morning. I graduated from St. Charles in 1953, and I think I graduated... I think I graduated in the top 90% of the class, as I recall, but pretty close to that. Well, as in that beautiful, beautiful rendition of the song by the choir, I remember in high school days, it's a wonder we weren't all arrested for impersonating a choir. I think we were terrible at the time. Well, Rachel mentioned that I've been in City Hall for a few years. I met a few presidents, a few governors, a few mayors, council members. And I have great respect for those offices because these office holders find themselves many times in difficult decisions and difficult dilemmas at times. So I thank God for allowing me to serve in the role that I've been in. The end of this year will be 52 years in total. And I thank God for giving me the health and the stamina and hopefully at least a little bit of his wisdom during those years. This morning, though, I'd like to turn my attention and take my hat off and thank the royalty in this community. And I see so many of you in this audience this morning, and yes, I said royalty. May not be royalty of blood, may not be royalty of wealth, but you are royalty of service. You are those who keep a community sane and compassionate and serving your brothers and sisters. We have all heard many times in our youth growing up and in our adulthood, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I thank God that because of the fact that I've been in this public role, I maybe have had an opportunity to meet more people in different roles serving and loving their neighbors than if I had stayed in private practice. And I say that with all great respect to all of those in private practice, to all those professionals who lend their pro bono time to people in need. I think of those who serve the needy with a meal from time to time. I think of my dear friend Matt Habash in the food bank. Can you believe 30 million pounds of food being delivered to those in need. Over 10,000 volunteers with Matt and his colleagues. 10,000 through several counties throughout central Ohio. I think of another good friend and another St. Charles graduate, Chuck Gehring, with Meals on Wheels. At least 1,000 or more meals being delivered every day to somebody who needs it. Somebody who needs it. I think of all the various food kitchens and the soup kitchens that you hear about in Columbus. Not just our Catholic food kitchens, but Faith Mission provides so much assistance. All of my African-American friends who work in their churches and their soup kitchens to help their brothers and sisters. Of course, my favorite soup kitchen in town has got to be Holy Family. I grew up in Holy Family Parish and was taught by the good Sisters of Mercy. They were not only great teachers, but pretty good disciplinarians, as I recall. And made a great bowl of chili. Today's Holy Family Soup Kitchen is my old grade school cafeteria. And I think I probably ate a million bowls of chili in that period of time. But represent the practical side of being in service to a community. I think of when I mentioned Holy Family service by the Sisters of Mercy for so many years. My dear sister Peg was a Sister Mercy for over 70 years before she entered heaven a year ago. And, you know, as growing up, when you had your sister nun looking over your shoulder, you had to behave yourself. But again, those are one of those blessings that I'm so thankful for. We think of housing. We pass the word along from time to time. I think of Homeport. Probably the founders of Homeport might be in this audience this morning. 5,000-6,000 people they've taken care of in providing housing. I think of Michelle Heritage over at Community Shelter Board. 1,000 people a night, up to 1,000 people a night who didn't have anywhere to lay their head on a pillow as they help provide those services. I've met, let me say, on a smaller scale, smaller in the sense of quantity, but no less beloved and no less qualitative. I've met in working at City Hall a couple of women who have walked the riverbanks along the side of the river, particularly around the bend there, and just provided a blanket to somebody who needed it at the time. I know and I've met those people who simply hold the hand of a dying person until God calls that last breath. I think of our dear friends at Birthright and other similar type organizations that care for our babies and care for our children, and I mean both those born and those who are waiting to be born. I think of all these folks as the royalty in this community, and I'm just so proud and thankful that I've had an opportunity to meet them and to cite them as examples to others. I want to offer a couple of comments also to our dear friends at Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I can speak with some authority because I know so many of you are immigrants. Well, you're looking at the son of two immigrants. My mother came through Ellis Island in 1920. My father came in through Canada in 1920. They weren't married at the time. Didn't know each other. Found work in Pittsburgh. As you know, immigrants are usually looking for work. Out of work in Pittsburgh. Found work in Wheeling, West Virginia, where I showed up. Lost their jobs in Wheeling and ended up with a better position than jobs in Columbus, Ohio. So I empathize with you a great deal. I tried to learn a little bit of Spanish to say this to you, but I thought, no, I'm not going to try it because I'll know I'll ruin it. I'll leave that to Rachel. But I simply want to say to you, welcome to Columbus. And I thought I would add, I'm glad you're here, but I knew I couldn't get through Welcome to Columbus, so I wouldn't bother adding the rest of it. But my heart goes out to you. Growing up as a son of two immigrants, if I heard it once, I heard it several times. To the best of your knowledge and ability, get your education. To the best you can, be prepared to work hard when you find that job. But above all, because there are going to be tough times, and I know many of you are going through it right now, above all, keep your faith in God. These are some of the thoughts that I have had over the years when I look through this community. I am so, Columbus is a special place. Central Ohio is a special place. And it's because of the royalty in this community. That's you. That's you. My simple prayer is that God continue to send a lot of royalty to Columbus, Ohio. And I say again, Bishop and Rachel, thanks for letting me join you. And to all of you, God bless you. Thanks for being part of that royalty.
Thank you, Hugh. You know, Mr. Dorian has been, over the years that I've been here as bishop, a great help to me as well, because his service within our church has been as dedicated as his service within the public sphere. And I am privileged to be with him this morning as we grant him this recognition, but also an opportunity to talk about something that he touched upon in his remarks. I had to chuckle when Rachel was describing how people would come to her and ask certain questions about the Catholic faith. And Rachel, I have often been asked, what did you give up for Lent? I have an answer which quiets them immediately. I tell them, I give up something to which I'm absolutely loyal in my abstinence. Tofu. But my friends, I want to offer a few remarks on a scriptural text. It is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Now, I'm not going to read you the entirety of the text, but I think all of you know it as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Christians have been living with that parable for over 2,000 years, and all of them believe they know it, but sometimes they know it in a slightly superficial fashion. We've lost the sense of shock that must have touched the ears of the original hearers of the parable, when in fact the one who was the helper was a Samaritan. We name hospitals after him now. But I look at that parable, and it is so typical of the parables in St. Luke, and it only appears in the Gospel of St. Luke, because Luke was an artist. He could draw beautiful portraits of individuals, include a telling detail. And sometimes we pass over this. I think we all are aware of the three passers-by who, going up to Jerusalem, saw the man in need, two passed by, and one stopped. And that one who stopped, It was interesting because he saw the need rather than stop to assess the character of the person in need. Because the Samaritan looked upon him and did not identify him as either an alien or a friend, but simply someone who was in dire need of help. And he gave it. That individual was subject to an attack by a group of robbers. And I think it's a reminder that we do live in a world that sometimes breaks out in violence. And what is really touching about that Good Samaritan, who I don't think ever appeared to the man in need as a Samaritan in our sense, was the fact, and people miss this detail, not only did he stop and bind up his wounds, take him to an inn there to recover, paid for his lodging, but when he completed his own journey, he came back to check on him. And he became not only one who assisted in a particular emergency, he became a companion to that individual. For so often we hear about acts of charity that are particularly pointed, say, at particular holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving. But in fact, I've often asked myself, what happens when Christmas ends and those people live now in January, February, and March? This is an everyday concern. Every day, the cathedral offers food morning and afternoon to the homeless. And it is every day, and it is increasing. The rector of the cathedral tells me that the number of people showing up has increased by at least 50%. I'm trying to figure out why this is true. But it's those small details in that parable that tell us an extraordinary amount about the character of the charity to which we are called by Jesus Christ. Not only to offer help, to give of our resources, but to give of ourselves and to make of them our companions. You may also remember that the whole parable is framed by two questions. Our Lord has just told the disciples and the crowds, when asked what is the first of all laws, all commandments of the law of the Torah, and he answers very famously, and you know those two great commandments. Love the Lord God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And immediately one of those learned in the law comes up to Jesus and said, well, who is my neighbor? And what follows as an answer is the parable of the Good Samaritan. But at the end of the parable, our Lord turns that question around. For it is no longer, who is my neighbor? As if we could come up to someone with a checklist saying, well, okay, do you fit the qualifications to become my neighbor? Our Lord says, but who is the one who is neighbor to the one in need? And the question that lingers for all of us is, are we neighbor? Are we the one drawing near? Are we vigilant? Are our eyes open to those in need? For it is often in opening our eyes that our hearts are moved to become that neighbor that will offer assistance, but also companionship. For so often those in need are isolated and alone, and we become that instrument of assuring them that they are not lost. So thank you.
Words neighbor and royalty are sitting with me. Thank you, Bishop Campbell and Mr. Dorian, for your kind and inspirational words this morning. It'll be something to sit with for a while. I think it's because of that inspiration and the depth of witness that we have and great men like you guys and in many in this room. That the good things that do happen in this community happen. And it does take, from my experience, it takes all of us to be able to do the work that is Catholic Social Services. And as before we go, I want to share a couple of things that we did together that I'm really proud of and I'm really excited about. It's been a really good year. This year, we were able to launch a new program that we call the Foster Grandparent Program, where we're going to be able to help low-income senior volunteers to go into schools and struggling Head Start programs just to be able to provide kids with the one-on-one attention from a grandparently type figure to help them do better in school. So for the kids, they've got the companionship, and for the adults, they've got a purposeful volunteer opportunity that provides them with a little more income. We're really excited to be able to get that going. Another thing that we are pretty excited about this year is that we were able to move into a new space for the Guadalupe Center. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to see it before we moved, but we were in a site the size of a 3-car garage, providing food assistance and English classes, and we had community doctors that would come in and lawyers, and people would kind of jostle around and do the great work. But on May 4th, or as I like to say, Cinco de Mayo Eve, we moved into a new facility for the Our Lady of Guadalupe Center, 3 times the size, classroom facilities, an opportunity for us to really expand our work and to be able to be that welcome center to those immigrants who like my parents and most of us in this room whose families moved here, to be that place where we can help them realize a new tomorrow and be a part of the community. We also, this year, started a new partnership with one of our Catholic partners, the Seton Square Properties. They run safe, affordable housing across the diocese to low-income seniors. Now, Catholic Social Services is offering our senior supportive care to ensure that these seniors are able to age with the grace and independence that they deserve. Many of the seniors look to our team members like you would look to your niece. This is the one that keeps them involved, advocates for them, and make sure that they're okay. Now, those are kind of 3 new exciting things that we have going on, we're excited about, but I think at the heart of what we do is the day-to-day work of Catholic Social Services, that which meets people where they are and walks with them to a new and better future. It's often unsung work, but it helps to transform people's lives. And rather than to share what that looks like, I'm going to turn to some of our clients to be able to do that. So I'll ask you to turn your attention to the video. When we're talking about impact, we're talking about a positive difference that we can make in the lives of our clients or in the community.
After I had my son, I had really, really bad postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. I think if I hadn't had Leah, I don't know honestly what would have happened, because I was in a bad place when I started having the individual therapy. The first session we have, I walked her to the door and she gave me a hug. And this is a woman I never met in my whole life, and she gave me a hug. And she told me it's going to be okay, and I'll see you next week.
Without a doubt, everybody at the agency really genuinely has the best interest of the client at heart, and it's sincere. We come to them with a genuine respect and regard for who they are as individuals. And I think that the clients can feel that.
I always felt like I was valued as a person, and the fact that I never felt judged made me feel more honest. I'm always going to be a parent, so I kind of have to use these skills like mindfulness, healthy no's.
We do what we do because of who we are, not because of who the client is.
I use the service. They come to your house. You don't have to stress out about bringing the baby to an appointment, and they're great, and I can say that with confidence. I know that if they go to Catholic Social Services for services, that they're going to be well taken care of.
Robert, and I'm just short of 92 and a half.
We really want to help someone enjoy the golden years of their life. Studies show that if someone's less isolated, they tend to live longer. If someone's able to stay in their home longer, they tend to live longer.
I'm a people person. I like people. They now have me working in a daycare center. Then I'm in a hiking group. I proved that you can teach an old dog new tricks. I've learned over 9 different ballroom steps.
It just really gives them a chance to have that companionship, so they're not feeling isolated, they're not feeling alone, they're not feeling like someone doesn't care.
I enjoy their coming in. They seem to enjoy mine and appreciate it and put up with it. You only live once, so live it up while you can. I'm old enough to know better, but I'm still too young to care.
She really needed somebody to help her out with her bills. She had stacks and stacks of various medical bills that the person that had been helping her was just not addressing. And I'm like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this together.
She really takes care of all my business for me. If I ask her a question and she advises me, she came to rehab to pay my bills. Now, you know, that's something else.
My goal is to let her be as independent as possible.
It's freedom, because when you get older, you have a whole block of people telling you, don't do that anymore. Don't question old people. We're old, but we're not nutty.
And she'll use the phrase, too, that I'm her brain for her. I don't know about that, but I take the worry away.
When he leaves, all my stresses are just fall down on the floor like a fountain. She cares more for me than I do for me. She wants to know that I'm okay. She's a cool lady.
This is what differentiated the early Christian communities, their extraordinary sense of charity, of outreach, of care for other people.
Social services works because it's about working individually with a person in order to be able to bring about that transformation.
We try to offer other people hope and a sense of the future, that when they look out ahead, they don't see just darkness, but a real possibility for an authentic human life.
When we give people the capacity to reach their potential, great things can happen.
We get the honor of working with some real characters. They're an absolute delight. This video shared 3 stories. For each one of those 3 stories, there are 10,000 stories that Catholic Social Services got to be a part of last year. For each Sissy, Bob, and Shirley, there are another 10,000 people that we got to help. Many people came together to make that happen. I want to say thank you to the clients for their courage, for their belief in themselves, for all that it takes to ask for help, and for a willingness to take steps forward. I also know a lot of that royalty that Mr. Dorian mentioned. So to the most talented, committed, and compassionate team that anybody could ever hope to work for, can you stand up so that we can say thanks? To my team, please stand. They're truly royal. Thank you to each one of you for being part of Catholic Social Services mission. I'm going to invite you to participate in one more way this morning. There are over 500 people in this room. and we're honored by each one of your attendants. There's this saying that it takes a village. Well, this morning we're going to ask every person here to be a part of that village and prayerfully consider making a gift. If each person here were to give $50, you could help break the cycle of poverty and make a generational impact on families. If each person gave $50, we could help seniors and disabled individuals to live independent lives in our community. We understand that for some, that's a lot, and others may have the capacity to give more. But if everyone gives what they're able, then together, we are a part of the solution. Many people coming together and each giving what they can. That's what makes us human. That's what makes us whole. So we ask you in this moment to join us. Join us in helping seniors age with grace and independence. And join us in helping families realize a new tomorrow. On your table, there's an envelope. While you're thinking about your contribution, please enjoy one more song from the St. Charles Choir. I'll be right back. Again to this amazing choir. And thank you for joining us to honor a hero in our midst this morning. Thank you for taking the time to learn a little bit more about our work at Catholic Social Services. And thank you for being a part of it. As you leave, we've got students from our Catholic partner schools, Christo Ray and Bishop Hartley, who will be at the doors to help collect your contributions. And as you go forth, may the rest of your day be happy. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this special St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AMA 20 presentation of the 2017 Catholic Social Services Breakfast with the Bishop. Again, today you heard from Ms. Rachel Lustig, the President and CEO of Catholic Social Services, Mr. Hugh J. Dorian, Columbus City Auditor and the recipient of the 2017 Vision Award, and the Bishop of Columbus, Bishop Frederick F. Campbell. Thanks again for joining us. God bless, and have a great day.
Oh God, who